Outlaw Dealers of America present the Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests Don McNeil, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. There's a haunting tune running through your Ford dealer's head these days. I don't know the melody, but the words are, it won't be long now. Watch Ford in 48, it won't be long now. Meanwhile, as usual, your Ford dealer is the man who can make any Ford sing. After his expert mechanics tune up your Ford using genuine Ford parts, special Ford equipment, and factory-approved methods, it'll run like a top. See your Ford dealer for that back-home service Ford's love. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mother's Day. If I had my way tonight, I would introduce my mother. But since I have a family to support and I need this job, you know who I'm going to introduce. So here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny, I heard you mention Mother's Day. Did you by any chance observe the day?
Oh, I sure did. I sent a big red rose to Ma Perkins.
Oh, that was nice of you, Kenny. She isn't even on today. It'll be a little wilted when Ma shows up in the morning. But Mother's Day always bothers me, Kenny.
How?
Well, a famous humorist, Bugs Bear, once wrote, "In America, we have National Apple Week and Mother's Day, a whole week to glorify an apple, and only one day to pay tribute to Mother."
Yeah, why should the apple be more important than Mother?
Kenny, if it wasn't for the apple, there wouldn't be any mothers. Mater's Day, Kenny. What's new?
Oh, not much, Fred. This is Be Kind to Animals Week.
Well, why should people be kind to animals? Why should people be kind to animals? Dogs are always biting people. Cats are always scratching people. Racehorses are always losing races and costing people money. How about the animals getting together and having a Be Kind to People Week?
Well,
that would be something.
Yeah,
let's give that a little thought now, because nobody will notice another lull in the program.
Fred, animals don't have it too easy. How would you like to be a hippopotamus and go around looking like that?
You think that's worse than I look now? Kenny, believe me, Kenny, animals are better off than people. Well, look at the elephant. When he's young, he goes with the circus. The elephant sees the show every day, matinee and night for nothing. Gets all of his meals free, rides all around the country, the Ringling Brothers pay his fare. When he gets old, the elephant is put in some zoo, where he has nothing to do but stand around and let kids stick peanuts up his nose.
That's true. The elephant has it pretty soft.
Kenny, if I had it all to do over again, I would be an elephant and make bee pictures with Sabu. Yes, Sabu and I, and a tree, and Weissmuller, maybe, in an occasion. Tell me, what else is in the news?
Well, I would
rather be at sea on a night like this. What else is in the news?
Well, the new Benjamin Franklin 50-cent piece came out this week.
Oh, I read that.
Why did they put Benjamin Franklin on the new half dollar?
Well, it's the housing shortage, Kenny. Even Franklin can't get new quarters. Speaking, those are the writers. If they'd only write and let it go at that, but they insist on applauding everything they write. If they just go write and drop dead. I mean, just those two things. Speaking of money, Kenny, did you see the Chinese money has recently hit a new low?
Yes.
Chinese money is worth so little now, instead of a safe deposit vaults, people are keeping their money in waste baskets.
Yet when a man in China says, "I've made my pile," how can you tell whether he's a millionaire or a street cleaner?
Well, the millionaire... the millionaire doesn't have a broom with him, Kenny. His paper is clean. That's really how you can tell. Tell me, is there anything else new, Kenny?
Yes, there is. Next Tuesday night, Henry Wallace's radio speech will take the place of the Red Skelton program.
Say, if Wallace keeps Skelton off the air, Kenny, it's good for 2 million votes. But somebody better tell Willie the Penguin.
Yeah, why?
Well, it isn't going to help Mr. Wallace's campaign if he comes on the air and radio listeners hear a voice say, "My fellow countrymen, smoke cool, smoke cool, smoke cool." And while you wait around to see if there is a delayed reaction to that joke, Kenny, I think I'll start ahead for Allen's Alley.
Yeah, what is your question tonight, Fred?
Well, this past week, the Pulitzer Prizes were awarded for outstanding work in journalism, playwriting, poetry, and other fields. And so our question is, are you satisfied with the Pulitzer Prize awards this year?
Shall we go?
As the rainwater said when it got to the top of the barrel, I think I'll run over. it's good to get back to Allen's Alley, Kenny. I guess the senator just washed his hair. His toupee is hanging on the line. See, the old pompadour is waving in the wind there. Well, let's knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody put the fud to my lumber. Oh, it's you, ferret face.
Yes, Senator.
Well, let's go, son. I'm busier than a man with one tooth eating corn on the cob.
Oh, no, nobody could be that.
I'm heading the Senate committee on that new clam survey.
Clam survey?
Yeah, the government's spending $500,000 to increase clam production.
Oh.
My job's to see that the boy clams start courting the girl clams.
Senator, don't tell me the clams make love.
Son, you have no idea what goes on under them shells. Yeah, I'm hustling every minute. I'm busy on that national health plan, too.
Health? National health?
Yeah, I'm studying vitamins.
But,
That's the secret of health, son, vitamins.
Vitamins?
If vitamin A don't cure you, go to vitamin B. If B don't get results, go to C, D, E, F, or G.
But if all the vitamins from A to G don't work?
Go to H.
Senator!
H has in vitamins, that is.
Oh. I was about to wash your mouth out with the Lever Brothers, Senator. Senator, I read that this week is the president's birthday.
Yes, son.
Is the president going to have a party?
He's worried if the party's going to have him.
This is a good time to stop the program. I'm going home. I'll see you.
All I can do is read a commercial.
Well, tell me, Senator, how do you feel about the Pulitzer Prize Awards this year?
Well, son, the wrong book got the prize.
Wrong book?
Most important book this year is Fanny Farmer's Cookbook.
Yeah,
this year, 20 million of them books will be sold.
20 million?
Every Republican voter is buying a Fanny Farmer cookbook.
Why?
Next November, they're going to try to cook the Democrats' goose. So long, son. Come on, Eddie.
Sounds as though the senator's getting ready to duck with his goose. Well, let's see if Mr. Moody is here.
Howdy, Bob.
Mr. Moody, do you tell me confidentially, do you approve of all of the Pulitzer Awards?
Why, not the most interesting story of the year, I don't.
No?
No. The most interesting story of the year, it happened on my farm.
Really? What was it?
Well, sir, one night last winter, my roan mare, Big Babe,
yeah,
was whinnying and moaning in her stall.
Uh-huh.
I called Dr. Gidney Pruitt. He's the vet.
The vet, huh?
Big Babe was laying on the floor groaning, and she was pointing to her stomach with her hoofs.
No kidding.
Doc Pruitt, he says, it's her appendix, sure as you're born.
The doctor operated?
He made an incision from her fetlock to her withers.
He did.
I held the incision open.
Yeah.
The doc, he's a little fella.
Yeah.
He stepped inside the mare.
He got inside the horse?
Doc had his derby hat on and was carrying a lantern.
God.
As I was saying, I could see different parts of the horse light up,
yeah.
So I knew the doc was looking around in time.
You trailed him, eh?
Yeah. Finally, Doc, he steps out, a Big Babe.
Uh-huh.
He's as white as a good humor man's pants.
Frightened, eh?
Doc says, Moody, he says, this mare is a freak.
A freak?
He says she's got the outside of a horse.
Yes.
But she's got the stomach of a hen.
The stomach of a hen?
Yeah. Doc says she ain't got no appendix.
You mean all that pain?
Doc says she's trying to lay an egg.
What? Well, what finally happened?
Well, sir, Big Babe, she laid a dirty-looking egg 3 foot long, and it had fur on it. I hatched the egg.
You hatched the egg, and?
Inside, there was a chicken as big as a St. Bernard.
A chicken?
And that chicken had a harness on. So long, Buck.
That sure is the story of the year. Well, let's try this next door.
Howdy, Chappie.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you're eating. Am I disturbing your dinner?
Oh, no, I'm just enjoying a snack.
Yes?
A little oleo on a bagel.
Oh. On a bagel? What is a bagel?
It is looking like a donut. It is feeling like a donut, but it is tasting like plaster.
Oh, like plaster. Well, that, That bagel you have there looks hard.
Eating through the side, it is tough.
Uh-huh.
But when you are coming to the hole, it is delicious.
I see. Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about the Pulitzer Awards?
For poetry, to me, they are making a big mistake.
Poetry?
For 1947, the outstanding poem is written by John Greenbaum Whittier.
John Greenbaum Whittier.
Confidentially, the Whittier is a nom de plume.
Oh, a nom de plume. But he is a poet.
He is getting his inspirations mostly in delicatessens while eating a la carte.
Well, tell me, what is John Greenbaum Whittier's outstanding poem for 1947?
All hail Sir Herring.
All hail Sir Herring. And how does it go?
All hail Sir Herring, monarch supreme, lying in state in your sour cream. Born a minnow, did you know you were fated in later life to be marinated? Swimming the seven seas off the West Indies, little thinking one day you would end up in Lindy's. All hail Sir Herring, I am here to greet you. You will give me gas, but I'm going to eat you.
The alley. They come as usual to the Cassidy Preserves. Let's arouse Ajax Cassidy. Hello, Mr. Cassidy. How are you tonight?
Me boy, I'm at death's door. I'm just fumbling for the key.
What's wrong?
I've got a touch of virus Y.
Virus Y? You mean virus X?
So I caught this at the Y.
Oh, it's the Y. Didn't know you remember.
I'm not long for this water.
Well, tell me, before you pass out, Ajax, what was your reaction to the Pulitzer Prize Award?
Me boy, I'm disgusted.
Disgusted? Why?
A streetcar named Desire was voted the best play.
Well, I know. It was written by Tennessee Williams.
Tennessee Williams. The best play was written by North Carolina Nolan.
North Carolina Nolan?
His play was called The Respectful Potato.
Oh, I see.
It was a symbolic fantasy that told the entire history of Ireland in three significant acts.
Well, what is this play, The Respectful Potato, about?
I'll tell you. Now, as the curtain goes up, the stage is bare.
Yes?
In the center, there's a potato.
I see.
The potato only has one eye. The eye is closed.
Oh.
The curtain comes down. That's the end of Act One.
Very entertaining. Now, fine.
Now, there's a short intermission, you see. The curtain goes up again.
Yes.
The potato is still alone on the stage, but its one eye is open.
Uh-huh.
The audience sees there is something in the potato's eye.
Yes.
It's the finger of a hungry man.
Oh.
The curtain comes down. That's the end of Act Two.
Well, after another intermission?
The curtain goes up. The potato's one eye is looking toward England. And in the eye, there is a tear. Down comes the curtain, the play's over.
Well, tell me, what became of the author, North Carolina Nolan?
Oh, the author never wrote another play. He was never heard of again.
Really? What happened?
Well, the opening night, you see, they charged $6 to see The Respectful Potato.
Yes?
When the final curtain come down, the audience cried, author, author!
Author, author.
When North Carolina Nolan strutted out on the stage to take his bow with the potato.
Yes?
The audience rose as one man, which it was.
And then... And this one man...
He killed North Carolina Nolan on the spot. Goodbye to you.
Thank you. And now Maestro Al Goodman signals us to be tested. Calling the five DeMarco sisters to his podium, Maestro Goodman gives the DeMarcos a downbeat for Babyface Girl.
Rosy cheeks and turned up nose and curly hair. I'm raving about my baby now. Dimples here and dimples there.
Don't want to live without him.
You love him, goodness knows.
I wrote a song about him.
And here's the way it goes. Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something, baby face. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a shop, cause I just fell in love with your pretty baby face. Baby face. faith. I'm in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a shove, cause I just fell in love with your cute queen. Baby, baby, baby.
And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Fred.
Yes, Kenny?
Ajax Cassidy is outside to see you.
Ajax Cassidy? Send him in.
Yeah, okay. Come right in.
Come right in, Ajax.
I am in, me boy.
Say, when I left you a few moments ago in Allen's Alley, you were all right. Where did you suddenly get that black eye?
Oh, well, no, that's a long story, me boy. I was driving along in me Ford, minding me own business.
Yes?
When who should I spy reading his evening paper by the light of a frozen food store... but Rinty Monaghan.
I see.
Well, I pulled me car over to the curb. Says I, the top of the evening to you, Mr. Monaghan.
Well, never mind. What about the black eye?
Well, that explains itself as we story unfold.
Oh, I should be patient. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I was taking me forward back home for service.
Yeah?
But Rinty insisted that instead we should go to Kerrigan's Cozy Corner.
Well, why didn't you explain to Rinty that only Ford dealers have special equipment and genuine Ford parts?
I did, me boy, and I further explained that Ford trained mechanics use methods approved by the factory. But Rinty Monaghan is a stubborn man.
Oh, you came to words?
We came to blows.
Well, how did the fracas end?
Oh, fine, me boy. Everybody's getting service.
Everybody?
Me Ford is at the Ford dealers for service.
Yes.
Rinty's in the hospital for service.
Yes.
And I'm going to Kerrigan's for service.
Well, wait a minute, Ajax. This is very interesting, Ajax, but what did you come here to see me about?
You know, it's entirely slipped me mind. Goodbye.
Well, some other time. Some other time. You have just heard a trailer of Nature Boy, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his Snug Harbor Syncopators. And now, ladies and gentlemen, say, Kenny.
Yes, Fred.
Have you another Ford commercial you can read? I think I'll go and lie down for a few minutes, Kenny. I'm dead.
You look tired, Fred.
Yes, I really am. I've been up every morning this week at 6 o'clock trying to see Don McNeil.
Who is Don McNeil?
Who is Don McNeil? He's only the Jack Igan of Chicago, Kenny. Why, Don's Breakfast Club has been on the air out there for over 15 years. This week he's broadcasting from New York. What I had to go through to see Don McNeil's program.
What happened?
Well, I couldn't get a ticket for the Breakfast Club anyplace, and I heard that Don McNeil was having a contest, a novel contest. He was going to stand on Fifth Avenue, and the first person who recognized Don was going to be his guest on the program the next morning, you see. Now, it was up to me. If I could find Don, I could get in to see his show.
And you?
Thursday, that's your line, is it? Thursday evening, right after the Breakfast Club broadcast, I started up Fifth Avenue. Gosh, Fifth Avenue sure crowded. I hope I can find Don McNeil. Say, maybe this gentleman. Pardon me, sir.
Yeah?
I wonder...
Hey, that creep, you can't panhandle on Fifth Avenue. This is my territory. Blow, bum.
Yes, what a gamey-looking character. Say, he couldn't be Don McNeil. Or could he? Oh, no. Don wouldn't be in his bare feet wearing a faded beret with an old army overcoat. Say, this chap with the elk's tooth coming. Pardon me, sir, is your name...
Yes, I'm Don McNeil.
Don! Mr. McNeil, I do hope I'm the first one to recognize you.
Yes, sir, you're the lucky winner.
Gosh, Mr. McNeil, how did you know I was looking for you?
Well, I can tell you're a typical Breakfast Club listener.
Really?
Yes, you come from a small town in the Middle West.
Yeah.
You have a wife and 3.2 children.
Yeah.
You have an Acme Mutual 40-year endowment policy, which expires at the age of 75. Guarantees you $12 a week in absolute security as long as you live.
Yeah.
You read 3 comic books a week, and you're rooting for the Dodgers to win the pennant. In other words, you're the average man.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not from the Middle West. I have no insurance. I like Jersey City in the International League, and I am not the average man.
No?
No.
Well, then how come you listen to my program?
Well, I think your program is great, Mr. McNeil. I buy everything you advertise. Why, I'm eating Swift's hams, I'm keeping my hams in a Philco refrigerator, and tomorrow I'm giving myself a Tony Permanent.
Come on.
My 3 hairs are going to have a time tomorrow.
And tomorrow morning, you're going to be my guest on the breakfast club.
I'm finally going to see your progress.
Yes, sir. If I'm going to interview at the microphone, interview you, I'm going to have to know something about you. What's your name?
Well, I thought you ad-libbed that. You don't. You have the thing, sir.
Oh, yes.
My name? Well, my name is Allen, Fred Allen.
Oh. What business are you in, Mr. Allen?
Well, I'm in the radio business.
Oh? What do you do, repair work?
Well, not yet. The night may tell the story. Right now, as I'm on my way to my repair business, I have my own program. I'm learning it from the bottom up, the business, you see. So you've never heard the name of Allen in radio?
Oh, well, no, the only programs I know are the Fitzgeralds, Tex and Jinx, Mrs. Goes a-Shopping, and my show, The Breakfast Club.
Oh, that's the morning. I'm not on in the morning. I'm on at night.
At night? You mean there are programs actually on the radio after the sun goes down?
This is a revelation to you?
Oh, yes. Every morning out of Chicago, I'm up at 6. I go on the air at 8 o'clock. Around 7 at night, I'm all in. I go to bed.
You've never heard of Bob Hope, Fibber McGee, Jay Benny?
Well, one night, I stayed up real late one night. I tuned in a fella, Gabriel something.
Uh-huh.
He yelled, "Good news." Before I found out what the good news was, I dozed off.
Oh, well, that's Gabriel Heater. He's a news commentator.
Oh, that's news to me. I don't know.
Don, you don't know what you're missing not being up at night. Why, radio's going on. There's television going on.
Television? What's that?
Well, it's like radio, only with pictures.
Oh.
People at home can see what the people in the studio are not laughing at.
I see.
You see, they understand it that way.
Well, how does this work, this television?
Well, they send pictures. They take a picture, and they send these pictures through the air, you see?
Oh, that explains it.
Explains what?
Yeah, yesterday in a tavern, I was nursing a glass of root beer.
Yes?
Well, suddenly, something lit up, and some little man came out of the wall and started playing baseball.
Don, if you were in a saloon, that was television.
Glad you told me. I was going to switch from root beer to ginger ale. I got to be running along now, Fred. I'll see you at the breakfast club tomorrow morning.
I'll be there for sure. So long. Well, Kenny, the next morning, I was guest on the Breakfast Club program. After the show, Don said...
Oh, Fred, how'd you like my program?
Oh, it's wonderful, Don. Watching you work gave me a great idea for a radio program.
Something new?
Yes. Today in radio, quiz programs are giving away money, refrigerators, automobiles, houses. Yes. Radio is soon going to be bankrupt. Now, my program will put radio back on its feet again, and you can be my master of ceremonies.
Well, what's your program like?
Well, instead of giving things to people, my program will take things away from people.
Ah, what's your show called?
Break the Contestant.
Ah.
Now, as Break the Contestant starts, you hear a fanfare.
Wake up, folks. Here it is, the revolutionary quiz program, Break the Contestant. Break the Contestant is brought to you by Lefkowitz's Liverwurst.
Oh, Lefkowitz's Liverwurst is the finest in the land. When you want the best in Liverwurst, Lefkowitz is the brand. It's round and firm and it's fully packed and you get twice as much. Try feeling a Lefkowitz Liverwurst, it's the skin you love to touch. Oh, it's chock-a-block full of vitamins, it's nutritious and delicious. Try serving it after the opera nights with cold cuts and with conditions. You can buy it by the inch, your foot on the Bowery or at the Ritz. When you want the best in Liverwurst, it's made by Lefkowitz.
Folks, you suffer from Liverwurst hangover? Does the Liverwurst you eat keep you awake at night? Try Lefkowitz's Liverwurst, the Liverwurst that comes with a sleep guarantee. Lefkowitz's Liverwurst lets you sleep. Why? Because Lefkowitz's Liverwurst contains sheep livers. No more counting sheep at night. The sheep livers.
Didn't expect it there.
These sheep livers are counted for you at the factory and then stuffed into Lefkowitz's Liverwurst. Remember, if you don't sleep after eating the big economy size 7-foot Liverwurst, here's all you have to do. Return the greasy string from the top of your Liverwurst, and Lefkowitz will send you by return mail. This offer is not good in Canada or in the United States. And now, on with our quiz, Break the Contestant. And here he is, your contestant breaker, Don McNeil.
Thank you, Hawk. Thank you very much. Now, our first contestant is this lady with the mink wedgies. Your name, Adam?
Blossom Nesselrode, formerly a housewife.
Formerly?
Yeah, me husband threw me out at the house.
I see. Blossom, are you ready to play Break the Contestant?
Sure. shoot the questions to me, Don Boy. I got a moving van outside waiting to be loaded.
Now, wait a minute. This is a different kind of a quiz. You play with your own money.
My own money? Brother, this is the end of radio.
How much money have you, Blossom?
I got $8.
Good. All right, I'll bet you $8 against your $8. Now, what category have you chosen?
Politics.
All right, here we go, Blossom. For $8, who is the President of the United States?
It's too soon to tell. We ain't had the election yet.
I'm sorry, the country does have a president.
You'd never know it the way things is going.
Blossom, now, who is the President?
I give up.
The answer is Harry Truman.
Okay, you pulled a fast one, but here's your $8.
Is that all you have?
Yeah, I'm flat broke. Which way is Ralph Edwards?
There goes another contestant. Leaving the studio without a stamp. Blossom, stop panhandling the page boy, if you please. Oh, my course. This stuff shouldn't be written for me. Stand by while we break the next contestant. This gentleman, your name, sir?
Lomax Nishball.
What is your occupation, Mr. Nishball?
I work in the automat. I'm a lettuce vendor.
Lettuce vendor in the automat?
Yeah, sometimes when they put a salad in one of them little compartments, the wet lettuce hangs out and they can't close the door, you see.
And you?
I bend the lettuce back so they can close the door. With rhubarb, it's stiff. I bite it off.
All right, Mr. Nishball, are you ready to play Break the Contest?
Yes, sir.
How much money do you have?
Well, I ain't got no money. All I own in the world is what I got on.
Oh, you've got to bet something.
Well, all right. Tell you what, I bet you my coat against your coat.
Mr. Nishball, you got yourself a bet
Nishball.
Here. Yes. What category have you chosen?
Music.
All right, it's your coat against my coat. Now, here's your first question, Mr. Nishball. Who wrote the Kachaturian saber dance?
The Kachaturian?
That's correct, Mr.
Nishball. Oh, correct, really?
Yes. You and my coat, I'll take it right off you. That's fine. You now have two coats. Would you like to try for four?
Four coats? Yes, sir. I'd like to try for four coats.
All right. In one word, finish the line of this popular song. Bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the what?
Bongo, bongo, bongo.
It's one word.
Manana?
No. Bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the Congo.
Oh, that's a song?
Yes, you lose, Mr. Nishball. I'll take my coat back and your coat, too.
You take your coat. You have the both coats now.
Yes,
all right. What's your next question, Mr. McNeil?
What are you betting, Mr.
McNeil? Let me see. What could I... Oh, my belt. I'll bet you my belt.
All right. For one belt, what was Peter Tchaikovsky's middle name?
Bongo, bongo, bongo.
I'm sorry.
It's still
yes. Take off your belt.
Yeah, I lost the game.
Thank you very much.
I'm gradually getting the hang of it. Getting the hang of it.
What do you want to bet now?
Well, what could I bet now?
Yeah.
Well, all I've got left to bet is my trousers.
Your pants.
You'll be sorry.
Come on, give me the question. I got to win back me coat and belt, Mr. McNeil.
All right, for one pair of pants. Who wrote Alexander's Ragtime Band?
Alexander?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Irving Berlin.
Could you repeat the question, please?
No.
Could you repeat the answer?
Now quit stalling, Mr. Nishball. You lost your pants. Come on, take them off. Give
them
to me.
Well, all right, mister. I don't know. I can't. There's your pants, mister.
Oh, thank you. My goodness. Oh, Mr. Nishball.
I thought this might happen.
Yes, you... Why did you put on the pink bloomer?
Which way is Phil Spitalny? Which way... McNeil for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Miss Gracie Fields. Before then, why don't you drop in at your four dealers for a checkup? Thank you and good night. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.